Hello and welcome to this week's 12 Years, where we will be focusing on the topic of plastic. We've had a couple of debates this week, one with students and one with our SU officer for the environment and their head of press. And we're going to be hearing what they had to say on the topic coming up. We're going to start with two of our students. I spoke to Sarah and Genevieve and we spoke all things plastic to see what they had to say on microplastics, the things you might not expect to have plastics in them, and general day-to-day living with single-use plastic.
We are going to talk about plastic in general. It's kind of good you're both girls, because there's a few things I'd like to talk about that boys probably wouldn't have as much of an opinion on. Let's start on that one. So, obviously we know a lot of sanitary products have plastic in them. They take years to dissolve, something like 200 years?
Yeah,
to,
like
400 years.
400 years to dissolve and break down. So what do you guys think about the new attempts that have been coming out recently? So there's been the Moon Cup, is that what it's called?
The cups that are reusable, aren't they?
And then there are like reusable pads.
And there's like underwear that you can just wear by yourself.
Yeah. And then I've also noticed apparently they are actually bringing out pads as we know them that aren't reusable but are biodegradable as well.
Okay.
But I think the main one's probably the Moon Cup and the reusable pads. What do you guys think about these? Do you think it's a good step in the right direction?
Yeah, I think it is. I would say it's
I actually have a Moon Cup.
Do you?
But I'm still getting used to it. It's actually quite traumatising.
I've heard it takes a lot.
It takes like a lot getting used to, I think. Like the first time I used it, I was in London for an animal rights march and I just went to the station because I needed to like change it. And I was just so traumatised, I just couldn't get this Moon Cup out. And I was just there in the middle of London. I was like, I just don't know what to do. Like, I got my period, I haven't got any pads. So I was like, okay, we're committing to the Zero Waste Life Moon Cup. And it was just awful. And my boyfriend was waiting outside with me and he was like, if you've been there half an hour, what's going on? I was like, just go, just leave me. It's fine. But I feel like I'm a bit more used to it now.
Maybe if you're going to start it, don't start it.
Maybe start at home. Start at home, I'd say, you know, with backup. I think they're a good idea, but I think the thing that puts people off is the initial price.
I've seen a lot of the kind of sustainable products definitely cost more.
Yeah, definitely.
Which over time will probably save you, save you loads of money, but it is quite an initial investment.
Yeah, it is. So the Moon Cup's, I think, like £20. And then the period underwear, because I've looked at getting it, but it's, again, it's upfront, like, above £20 to pay.
Yeah.
And when you can just go and buy tampons for, like, £3 or less.
And this is the thing. So I looked into the reusable pads with, which, first of all, come in different patterns and colours, but some of them are significantly more expensive. And I'm like, who's like investing in this, like £10 per one? Because you're going to have
a few
to get you through.
Yeah.
And also something I realised without going into much detail is if you just chuck that in the wash, the chances are that lots of your clothes end up, this might just be an unfortunate situation I have, but lots of your clothes, instead of coming out washed, just end up bloody.
And then I guess if you wash it separately, there's a whole like additional emissions of washing just your clothes. Is it worth it?
It's but I think that they're good starts in the right direction. I think a lot of people still find it a bit weird or a bit cringy.
I think there is a taboo around.
I think it would be better if, you know, if you go into a supermarket or something, you always see the mainstream.
If you didn't have to buy it online, if you could just find it.
If you could just see it right there, you'd be way more inclined. But I always buy mainstream stuff because it's cheaper.
Everyone does it.
See
it's
it in Boots, in the supermarket, everywhere you go. So I think it's more a matter of, you know, just putting it in places where people are actually going to see it.
I guess it'll come with, like, increased popularity.
More people just need to see it.
So everybody listening, go out now. Obviously if you need one. Obviously that's half the population. But I do think it's the way forward. I need to take that leap, which is something I'm like, this thing I'm like really having to psych myself up to get on. Because as you say, it's quite traumatizing.
Oh gosh,
Something moving slightly off this, but kind of on the topic, you can also get now reusable cotton wool pads and things like this, which I really, really want, which I've seen my friends have. And they're like made of bamboo, I think. So you can do it for taking your makeup off, whatever you use it for, toners, you can just use that as opposed to using cotton wool. But I still think things like nail polish remover, that's going to stay.
Yeah.
Like there's certain things that only they're going to work for. But would you guys look into something like that?
I actually haven't.
You actually haven't?
No, I do have them.
Are they good?
Yeah, they are good. The only thing is, like, even if you do wash them, like, the makeup stains still don't come out. So you can still wash off your makeup again and not be clean, but it just doesn't look, like, they're a bit discoloured now, especially with, like, eyeshadow and, like, lipstick and things like that. I've never used them for nail polish remover, though.
I think that would definitely stay.
That would definitely stay, yeah.
My biggest reason is more things like when I use toner. I've now bought, like, spray toner, don't have to use, like, cotton wool pads, because it's things like, if you can't see a mark on the cotton wool pad after you've used it because it's just a clear liquid, I always feel like, what a waste of, of this, like, thing.
Yeah.
So that's probably where I'd go for it.
Yeah, I'd say so. I think you need a lot as well, and you need to wash them a lot.
Yes, but these are things that we can invest in to cut down.
Yeah.
And a different thing is, it's like very different, but tea bags. Do you use tea bags?
No,
you don't. Do you drink tea?
No.
I
don't drink any tea.
So you're doing really well for the environment.
Yeah,
anyway.
They actually put it in plastic, aren't they? Like, yeah. They don't. Yeah.
They say loose leaf tea.
Yeah.
Which is what I drink.
Oh yeah, my parents have loose leaf tea.
It's meant to be nicer as well, like, better quality.
And you can get different flavours, just to push that. Yeah. But it's a weird one, because sometimes when I, like, pull it out, people are like, oh yeah, but then there's still places you go and people are like, oh, you're fancy, you're so fancy because you've got this new sweet tea. And I guess so, but also it's just, it's a very sustainable way of approaching it.
It is, and you can get that in supermarkets, which
you can. Yeah, you can, you just need a strainer.
Yeah,
it's a lot more easy to do than, you know, the sustainable sanitary towel.
Yes. Yeah. It's a much easier step forward, I would say. So, do you guys think that stopping all single-use plastics is a feasible or a realistic approach? Or do you think cutting down is just as far as we're going to get?
I don't know. I mean, I've worked in, like, a warehouse before, which obviously that's a lot of packaging and a lot of plastic. And I mean, I can't say I know a lot about, you know, the science of plastics and materials. Yeah. However, I do think, you know, when they have crates full of food and stuff, if they're not wrapped in plastic, I don't know how they would transport them. Like, you have got cardboard and stuff, but I see a lot of packaging. I think plastic is the only thing you can use, kind of like cling film wrapping they use.
Yeah.
So I think a lot of, you know, us in our daily lives, we can definitely cut down a lot. But it's the big corporate companies that need to transport things. I don't know how feasible it would be for them to do.
There are things like hemp-made plastics now. But obviously that still needs to come into the mainstream.
Yeah, that's true. And it's, you know, you see these companies that they try and save on every single thing they do.
Mm-hmm.
And that's usually going for the cheap plastic, which isn't going to help the environment.
Yeah, exactly.
So I think it's a matter of making, you know, biodegradable plastic more readily available for big companies, and then convincing them to use it.
Yeah.
So this is the thing. People have created alternatives.
Yeah, we have the solutions.
Yeah, we have the solutions. Like, even so I spend my life at parties going around getting people's beer cans and ripping, you know, they come in the circular holders. I rip all of that apart so that turtles aren't getting caught in them. But you have biodegradable. You have ones that actually feed sea creatures now.
Is it Corona that have done that?
I think so. Yeah. It might be.
The plastic rings.
Yeah, the plastic rings, like, feed the sea creatures as opposed to getting caught in them and they degrade. So the solutions are there. It's just making them mainstream. Yeah. But you were talking about food. Obviously,
that's the tricky one. That's the hardest.
But a lot of supermarkets have cut down and have, because there was excessive amounts of plastic, I would say, on pretty much everything.
Yeah.
So I feel like there is probably further to go, but there's been a good start made by supermarkets.
Yeah, I think that's true, but I think we're also looking at it from this perspective of the UK, where we're very conscious of it.
Yeah.
I mean, I've never actually been to, you know, China or Japan, or I haven't really been much to the US, well, maybe not the US so much, but other countries that are maybe less conscious of it.
Yeah.
They're I don't know what they're doing. So
I think, yeah, and I think it's hard for those countries like in Southeast Asia because like they don't have clean drinking water. They need bottles of water all the time. They need to.
Even in Spain.
Yeah.
You talking about bottles there, that's something really interesting. Obviously a big thing on campus is meal deals.
Yeah.
And I have noticed that, because so when I was, when at the start of the year, through radio, I was here a lot, I was living off meal deals, and I noticed that unless I wanted water, there was no alternative for me but to buy a plastic bottle. Yeah. And I feel like if they've done it for water, because you can get carton water now, which is still difficult to recycle, and we will touch on that, you really don't have an alternative but to use plastic bottles. Do you think that companies like Coke, so for example, because they produce like 200,000 plastic bottles a minute or something, do you think they could be looking maybe going back towards glass bottles? Do you reckon that would be a viable solution, or do you reckon that realistically we're going to have to be sticking with plastic for a while?
I think with that, glass is a lot better because glass can be infinitely recycled, but the thing is the initial like making of glass is so, you know, like it just demands so much energy, so then there's the greater emissions from making the glass as opposed to plastic it might equal out. I feel like if they were to switch to glass, you need to have some sort of kind of return scheme so they actually can use their bottles again, which is just, that's like great, but it's just so hard to implement on like a global scale because it's like a global company.
Or even metal
cans.
So
they're better.
I think I've mentioned this in a previous episode, but there was a scheme that I read. It's not an actual, it doesn't function at the moment. It's not a real thing. It was just an idea. But the, so for example, Tesco deliveries, all of your products, so ice cream and whatever else would come in metal containers, and then you'd use it and then chuck it, because it would come with a tote bag. You'd literally just chuck those back in the tote bag. They would go back to the factory. When you next got your order, they'd pick that up and take it away. And it would just, they'd reuse it. And that would be basically an infinite cycle of metal containers being used. Do you think that's a good way forward?
I think that is a good way forward.
I agree. I think there's so many good ideas out there like that, but it's just changing people's mindsets.
Because nobody's pushing it. The ideas are coming out and nobody's while we're pushing for a greener planet, nobody's pushing for these specific ideas.
I think there's not actually, you see all this, you see, you know, everyone marching on the streets, but I mean, realistically, it's like who's actually taking action in their everyday lives to create a big change. So I think it's almost putting awareness on the fact that, okay, now we've actually got to do something, and we have got to implement stuff like the metal containers. Because I've never even heard that.
I think it was an idea called Loop. I read about it online somewhere a while ago, and it's kind of stuck with me as an idea, but I don't think it actually is implemented or is occurring yet. But I think it's definitely something for supermarkets to be looking into, although it does really only work on a delivery scheme, I would say.
That's true.
Well, maybe not, but it would have worked better. So we talked about cartons earlier, because I said obviously you can get the water in cartons. Do you guys recycle your cartons, your orange juicing cartons, things like that?
I try and use them as much as I can. So if I do buy water bottles, I try and find ones which are made of recycled plastic, and then, you know, I'll try and use them over and over again until they get quite disgusting.
But specifically so if you buy orange juice, they come in what appears to be cardboard.
I think I would put it in recycling.
You're allowed to recycle it, but they're actually called Tetra Paks, which work very similar to, so obviously we have the crisp packet recycling on campus, and how it works is that there's 75% paper and cardboard, 20% polythene and 5% aluminium. So they have so they're made of these different materials, which means it's actually very, very hard for them to be recycled. And many local recycling plants won't do it, and apparently there's only one actually dedicated carton recycling facility in the UK, which is in Halifax. So people will send you know, the recycling plants may send it off to them or may not. And so it's an interesting thing that people think they're doing good by recycling it, and they tell you on the packet you can recycle it, but it's actually the recycling companies themselves may not be doing it.
It's the same with the coffee cups, that you can't recycle them, because even though they look like cardboard on the outside, like in the inside it's a plastic layer. So
it looks like a waxed cardboard, but it's actually plastic, which is kind of deceptive.
It's very deceptive.
And I think, because I had an ice cream brand the other day, and I literally got to the bin and I was like, can I recycle this? Can I not? Because even washing it out, I was like, there's clearly something else in this. And you want to make, you want to do good, but it's up to the companies really to make it more. So that's, so they're an example of where I think these new ideas could come into play. So the last few things we're going to talk about, first of all, is glitter. What do you guys think about that?
I mean, I do love it. I don't use it much, but I mean,
it is fun. You get biodegradable glitter.
Yeah, but obviously that's...
But how good is it, like?
It's not on the main street.
No.
Which... Because it, so for, so I like a bit of glitter in my life, which is quite annoying. You know, I have shoes that are glittery, and for
a lot of people do.
And I had a glittery poppy at Remembrance Day, which occurred to me afterwards. I was like, you can buy biodegradable glitter, but the things you're buying, unless it's good for if you go to a festival and you want to on your face, but the things that you're actually buying day to day definitely aren't made of this. And I think this is another example where consumers or producers of these product literally just need to be like, oh, this exists, let's use it. You seem to do quite a lot of stuff in your life to live sustainably. Do you boycott glitter, or do you still...
I actually don't boycott glitter. That's really bad, isn't it? I just I've never actually bought it. I just kind of use my housemates,
but that's
I'm pretty sure it's not like biodegradable, so I probably shouldn't.
But it's like made of tiny little plastic bits. But then I'm sitting here saying this, I, you know, as I just said, use glitter. It's very hard to live a perfectly sustainable life, which is something I really should say from this show. We're not here being like, live it perfectly. It's just kind of exploring,
getting a conversation stuff. So I think it's important, you know.
Because not everybody's aware. You just see glitter and you think, oh, pretty, and it's so tiny, what effect is it gonna have?
Or you even think about, you know, so where it's gonna go and take it off.
It's just gonna go.
And lastly, so McDonald's have said, apparently, that they're to reduce plastic by almost 500 tonnes in packaging revamp. McDonald's have already phased out their plastic straws at its restaurants and are replacing them, or have replaced them, with paper ones. And globally, the brand has made a commitment to source all packaging from renewable or recycled sources by 2025. But obviously, there's quite a big hoo-ha, I was going to say. It's quite a big palaver around... McDonald's. So first of all, obviously it was the straws, and then people created a massive fuss. What do you guys think about the people who created the fuss, because they said that their milkshake tasted different through a paper straw?
I think they're just a bit stupid, really. Stupid's a strong word, very judgmental, but I think just don't have a straw at all.
I understand that there's some, like, people with disabilities need straws. And we're not talking about those people.
We're talking about everybody.
Didn't like 30,000 people sign that? Bring back plastic straws.
Well, I actually read that they brought paper straws back. I think it was an article, I can't remember where from, this summer, saying that you can't actually recycle the paper straws.
Yeah, I read that as well. So,
so they, but the plastic ones were recyclable.
Really?
So,
well, the plastic ones apparently take 200 years to decompose. But the problem is, a lot of their plastic straws were black, and you can't recycle black plastic because it's something to do with when it goes through the detector, like, doesn't pick it up. It doesn't register.
Also, no one's putting that recycling, like, are they, like, taking McDonald's like, in the general bin?
But I went for a drink the other day, and I had a paper straw, which I'm quite happy to have a paper straw. This wasn't at McDonald's. It doesn't really affect me, but it very quickly just, because there was a lot of ice in the drink. Very not great. It stopped working. I just had to drink it normally, and I was like, okay, fine. But if they're already washing up, metal straws, surely. I mean, I suppose things like McDonald's where you're taking away, but restaurants where you are sitting in, they could wash a metal straw and sit.
Like, I love, I mean, been to a couple cocktail bars and they have really cool like metal straws with like really cool designs, and it's so much nicer to have something really fun and exciting rather than just a plain plastic straw. So I think, you know, they could, you know, for marketing purposes, they could even play on that. And so, you know, they think about money, whereas that could, you know, having a cool metal straw could really sound weird, but entice people.
But that's a good thing you're saying, that at this moment in time, everybody's so focused on helping the environment. And so I'm surprised that companies aren't jumping on it more to be like, come to us because we have these cool plastics, metal straws, or we have these cool things that we're doing to help.
I think with McDonald's as well, it's just a bit of a rich claim. Like, they say they're reducing their, was it 500 tonnes of plastic? Yeah. I think that figure doesn't really mean anything about, like, actually the figures of how many tonnes of plastic they are producing, which is probably a lot. And also just, like, the general emissions of McDonald's, of, like, having beef and meat is just going to be outrageous. And it's such a big company that I bet there's a really, like, you know, meaty proportion of, like, emissions from McDonald's. So it's just empty words, I think, to be honest.
Yeah. Well, the other thing that they were coming under attack for was obviously that Happy Meals have plastic in.
Oh, yeah, of course.
And so we'll kind of finish on that discussion of what do you guys think about that? Because originally, I'm pretty sure they didn't have plastic figurines. I think it was, you know, little notebooks or whatever.
Yeah. I actually can't remember. Like,
no, I've never really had Happy Meals.
I must be quite young. Stuck with me.
I think in our time they did, but in the 70s, because I was looking this up for our 40-year UN's 40-year reunion. I think in 1979 they had all these different things. It didn't strike me or jump out to me as being predominantly plastic. But obviously plastic toys are easier to wash, easier to take home and carry, which is probably why they do it for children's sake. But do you guys think that with Happy Meals they should be looking for a new alternative?
Yeah, I think so. Especially now, like, we know the facts and figures on plastic pollution. I just don't think there's an excuse. Like, no one needs a Happy Meal plastic toy. Like, they could easily replace that. I know it's like part of the identity of a product, like, have the toy.
But it's the same with Kinder Eggs.
Yeah.
They have all these little plastic toys.
Yeah. I think it's just to do with, you know, marketing again. Yeah. It's like, I mean, they say they're doing all this stuff to help the environment, but realistically, is it their end goal to actually help the environment if they've still got the plastic toys, you know, in the Happy Meals? Because they could quite easily, you know, scrap that and replace it with something like a notebook or something that's not plastic. But because kids love little plastic things that are really colourful that they can just fiddle with, you know, it is more enticing to them.
They're definitely going to put profit.
Definitely, of course they are.
But I had a friend when I was younger who every time they had a Kinder Egg, they would put it in the cabinet. They had a big glass cabinet and they'd keep it. They had so many. They filled this cabinet. And I just thought, most people will bin those after, or they get lost. And you look at how many like these two people between them had collected, and you just think that amount times however many children in the world buying Kinder Eggs is just insane. Absolutely insane. And they're tiny things that people think it doesn't matter. But actually, that's worse because it's getting caught.
Yeah. Or it's just going to break up and then become microplastics and, you know, kill marine life just as much as it would.
Do you guys have any final thoughts to say on plastic in general?
I'm trying to avoid it as much as possible.
I think it, like, consequences are changing. I think these sort of things always take a while to catch on, but I think they will, especially in generations to come when the climate crisis becomes more prevalent. So I think attitudes will change, and I think single-use plastics and things like this will phase out. But I just think we need people, like, at the start of the movement, kind of spreading the word, and we just need companies to do their bit and change as well.
Yeah, definitely. I think a lot of it is on the big corporate companies to just change their mindset. Try and not, I mean, I know profit is always, you know, the end goal to make big profit, but if they realise that, you know, in 100 years they won't be able to make profit because, you know, the world is burning or whatever, they realise that, then maybe they'd stop. So I think it's just attitude.
Yeah, definitely.
We're now going to have our first song called Plastic, which is by the amazing and supremely talented kids from Step Up and Sing Half Term Holiday Club in 2018. They did all the research and they put together this magnificent music, and I'd highly recommend giving it a listen now.
better watch out if you head out boating. Time to choose our own destiny. Less plastic waste and no fish in the sea. We gotta act now or there will be more plastic than fish by 2015. So what's the solution? What can we do?
Very heartfelt message there. We are now going to talk to our SU officer and their head of press in the environmental team about their views on plastic, single-use plastic, alternatives that we can find, and generally all things plastic.
So we talked about plastic this week on the show. A couple of things to start that we talked about with a couple of students yesterday were things that you don't necessarily think about as having plastic in, so sanitary products, tea bags, single-use cotton wool pads, things like that. Do you guys try and cut these out on your day-to-day, or is it, like I said, you don't really think about them being plastic in them?
And I live in my family home, so it's whatever my mum gets, and she's not, like, she doesn't really engage that much with that sort of thing, so unfortunately at home I don't really get that opportunity to do so, but like, there are alternative versions of those products that are available where, you know, you can get like plastic-free versions, some of which are even sold in spa, but many of which you can find online or in a zero waste store or something like that. So there are ways actually to get around it, for sure.
Yeah, I think the main issue with those, like, the alternatives of those products is, like, the price of them. So I do always think, like, if you can start small and start with things that may be easier, like things like sanitary products, that isn't, like, a massive range of stuff that doesn't have plastic in it that you can use. If you can start with more obvious plastics, like things like water bottles, like things that are, where there are, like, a massive range of alternatives, hopefully in time those things will get cheaper. Things like reusable water bottles are way cheaper than they were 5 years ago because there's such a demand for them. So hopefully if you, like, start small, start with easier things, these things will then become cheaper with time.
So one thing we did discuss was, as you say, plastic water bottles. In the meal deal, I've noticed that unless you want a carton of water, I'm pretty sure, which also is a Tetra Pak, I'm assuming, so it's not easily recyclable, you don't really have a choice but to get a plastic bottle. Do you think that retailers should be looking towards, or is it an easy fix, or is it something that's quite difficult?
So this is something that I've actively been working to look into as officer. There are actually a lot of alternatives on the market to those single-use plastic bottles. So for example, so the big two soft drink manufacturers both have vending machines where you can refill a reusable bottle, and with RFID technology as well, that can actually be tracked to an account that you have. So there are actually ways to use technology to have those alternatives. I know that Reading University actually have that already in place. So with Coca-Cola Freestyle machines and with RFID valid fill technology there, they've been able to actually eliminate the plastic bottles from their stream, pretty much. I think they've reduced by like 350,000 a year. And considering that they're about half the size of us, that's a, I know how significant of a reduction that would, that actually is. So those technologies do exist. It's now just sort of getting them out of being an experimental thing and into the mainstream. But yeah, absolutely, retailers can take that responsibility, especially if it becomes a widespread scheme led by the manufacturers as well, or led by the retailers. There's definitely ways to work around it.
Yeah, I do think we are quite lucky with Spa in that, even though it's not where it ideally would be or should be, they are quite forward thinking. So things like canned water, we got in for like literally that exact reason. But it is frustrating that obviously if you're getting two of the things, the third thing actually makes it cheaper as well. So like by getting the drink, you're getting it cheaper, but you have to buy the plastic, which is frustrating.
I've noticed a lot of things at Spa. I just think a lot of people, we had discussions, it's quite a good topic to talk about in daytime, where you go, oh, what's your favourite meal deal, what's your favourite meal deal, and people always go for what can I get most value for money on, and unfortunately it's never going to be water.
No.
So a lot of people with that mindset are definitely going to be picking up on the plastic, which is sad. I always feel guilty every single time, but it's not even something, as you say, at the moment that you can bring a reusable bottle for. What, just generally with regards to plastic, what do you think is the biggest thing that manufacturers or retailers could be looking at right now?
In general, it's just, I would say, eliminating single use as much as possible from all parts of the stream. Whether that's at the consumer end with bottles, with straws, with packaging. Packaging is such a huge thing. But also in the transportation, like the amount of cellophane that's used, the amount of wastage in manufacturing. There's, at every single stage of that stream, there's so many ways to reduce and actually eliminate that single-use plastic. And even if you're then just recycling wastage and stuff like that, it's still a significant reduction.
Do you think we'll ever be able to get to zero single-use plastic, or is that not realistic?
I don't think it's... As a whole society, no, it's not realistic, because there are certain things that single-use plastic is just required for example, in the medical industry. What it's more about... Like, people really... People demonise plastic a lot. Plastic is a wonderful, wonderful material. It's a miracle material. But we need to use it responsibly, and we need to use it in a way that is actually sustainable. So that's eliminating single-use plastic for the sake of waste. So, like, we look at pop bottles. It used to be in glass bottles. Glass is infinitely recyclable. Plastic isn't so much. Plastic is not as great as glass for that. And we just end up throwing it in landfills and in the sea anyway. So I don't see us going completely single-use plastic-free, but I don't think that's necessarily the aim. It's more just actually taking responsibility for the materials that we're using across the board.
Okay, so I feel like... So earlier we mentioned the Tetra Paks. We've talked about how it kind of works on campus before, but do you know more about how it works to be broken down?
The recycling?
Yeah.
So with crisp packets, obviously they cannot be recycled in a normal recycling stream because they are mixed material. So they either end up in landfill or you have to send them off to a specialist recycler. What they do is effectively dissolve things. So acid baths, strip away any metals, strip away any oils, and they dissolve it in sort of stage by stage to take out each material at a time. It's a really, really time-consuming, costly, specialist process. But when you have a significant bulk of that material, as recycling partners such as TerraCycle do, then it actually becomes really, really beneficial to strip back those materials and actually recover them back. Plus, eliminating it from a landfill stream is a significant improvement. Obviously, it's not going to save the world. But no one action is. There's nothing that we can do as a single action that's actually going to just solve everything. So actions like that, where we're eliminating a single thing from that stream at a time, are really, really crucial to reducing our microplastic output into the seas, to reducing our landfill output into huge fields. It's such a vital stage of that process.
I remembered what I was going to say now as well, because you said dissolve. What do you think it's going to take for... Obviously, people have come up with solutions like hemp plastic and the biodegradable beer can things that feed fish now. What do you think it's going to take for them to become mainstream and for retailers and manufacturers to actually look at them as an option as opposed to just going to single-use plastic?
The problem with a lot of those as well, though, is they're like putting on a plaster. They are innovative. A lot of them are very innovative solutions to a problem that we have created that shouldn't exist in the first place. So to make them mainstream isn't necessarily hitting the right targets. And you have to consider that on a case-by-case basis because, yeah, it's all well and good replacing, like, the little ring things that go around beer cans with a biodegradable material. Why not just get rid of those in general? You don't need them. If you want to stick your beer cans together, use like a little bit of like an eco-friendly glue or something to hold them together. Or just put them in a little, just put them in your bag. You don't need them stuck together. It's pointless. That's what it's going to take to actually change things. It's going to need the manufacturers to do it. And they're going to have to, ultimately, they're going to end up doing it because of money. Either it'll be because of money or because of press. Those are the only two reasons the big manufacturers are actually going to make those changes, money or press. So we either have to convince them that it's cheaper to do the right thing or show them that actually it's what people want.
Yeah. I do think from a retail perspective, it's literally just demand. Like, realistically, big companies aren't making eco-friendly changes because, as bad as it is, they actually care. They're doing it because they think that that will get them either better publicity or more customers or that kind of thing. And the reason that some alternatives are cheaper than others is because of how much demand there is for them. So the only way really that kind of eco-friendly alternatives will become mainstream is literally just demand, and people like demanding that they use or stopping using the single-use plastic.
And I would say the main case study recently for plastic is, of course, McDonald's. What did you guys think when, first of all, when McDonald's released that they were no longer using plastic straws, but then when this huge petition went around to bring them back again?
I do think with plastic straws, I'm always a bit hesitant because it's kind of become this thing where people kind of think like plastic straws are going to solve all the world's problems or not using them. And I do think, although it is important and these changes are really positive, I know when this being stopped using plastic straws before McDonald's and then McDonald's, even though those things are important, the rest of the single-use plastics that are used in McDonald's are still there. And I do think that a lot of companies use plastic straws as kind of like a band-aid of like, oh look, we're environmentally friendly now, when they're not actually making realistic change towards being more environmentally friendly.
So the McDonald's situation and the whole thing with plastic straws, in a lot of cases, businesses do use it as a form of greenwashing, as a form of promoting themselves as eco-friendly. McDonald's was a particularly interesting case because the paper straws that they went to, so most local authorities just couldn't recycle the paper straws anyway and actually still can't. So you've ended up with a case where you've gone from a material that, while it's single-use plastic, it was recyclable and you can clean it, to now a material that is going to end up in landfill. The paper straws now do mostly end up in landfill because local authorities just cannot recycle them. You can't clean them. Paper, once it's contaminated, bye-bye, it's gone.
So obviously it's a bit harder with things like McDonald's because you take it away. But for, say, Wetherspoons, or I noticed Slug & Lettuce have paper straws, do you think metal straws would be a good alternative? Or do you reckon... Because, I mean, they're washing up anyway. But obviously, straws are harder things to clean. Do you reckon that would be a good way forward? Or do you reckon that, again, we're just
Yeah, I know you can get like metal straws that would literally collapse to a couple of centimetres that people do like literally just carry around with them, which is always handy, but it's about remembering to have it. It's the same with like taking plastic bags on a shopping trip.
But if the store supplied them?
I realistically, unless there was a massive demand for it, could not see a big corporation paying to have them in the first place. I think once they had them, that'd be fine, that would work. I think it would take a lot to persuade someone to spend hundreds of thousands of pounds on that many metal straws when they're that significantly more expensive.
Plus, they would have to then consider the cost of cleaning them.
Mm-hmm.
The metal straws actually do have to be cleaned out with a special, like, scrubby thing that goes inside it. So when you're multiplying that across the hundreds of tables that are in a big spoons, suddenly you've got loads of straws where you're going to have to be cleaning them. That adds a significant labour cost onto it as well. And unfortunately, for those big businesses, it does come down to the money. So it's just, I don't see it being viable in terms of them going for it. It would be nice, but I just can't see them taking it up, unfortunately.
I kind of find, Lisa, you said earlier about McDonald's that they're still using the rest of it, which is true. So, supposedly, they are set to reduce plastic by almost 500 tonnes in a packaging revamp. And they've phased out plastic straws, replacing them with paper, obviously. But globally, the brand has made a commitment to source all packaging from renewable or recycled sources by 2025. What do you think about that?
The 500 tonnes is interesting. 500 tonnes is not a lot. It's really not. For a business the size of McDonald's, that is tiny. Obviously, just at this uni, we produce over 3,000 tonnes of waste every year, mm-hmm. and that's just landfill and recycling. So a company the size of McDonald's, 500 tonnes, that's pennies. That really is. In terms of them actually removing plastic from their stream entirely, it's great, but again, they have to actually consider, are those materials being used responsibly in the first place? You can't just say, we're going to remove everything, because some of it might be necessary. I don't know. I don't know their processes. But for every business, it's a case of removing what's unnecessary. That's what you actually have to consider. You can't just blanket ban something across everything, because you're going to end up with a case where, like the straws, you end up with a material that's actually worse. So they have to be careful, but it is encouraging to see progress towards that direction.
Yeah, I do think, like, there is a McDonald's in literally every country of the world, so I do think a lot of it's just, like, a token. But a lot of waste comes, so even though a lot of it's marketed towards individuals and things you can do, it's actually big businesses that cause the majority of the waste, if not, like, what we can do actually doesn't have that much of an effect until big businesses start making changes. So even if it is just a token, if other people start following suit, then if enough people do little things, then enough businesses do little things, then it might actually make a general bigger difference.
Businesses are by far the biggest way that can make those changes as well. I mean, obviously 71% of global emissions are caused by just 100 businesses. So getting those businesses to actually take responsibility and make those changes, even if they are small changes across their entire chain, it will still add up.
This is pretty much on par with where we were yesterday as well. Everybody very much agreed that it was to do with the consumers, and also that 500 tonnes was the kind of thing that people were saying. It sounds good if you don't know. Because if you don't, you know, you clearly know how much 3,000 tons, still a lot, 3,000 tons are. So, you know, 500 to the passerby might seem like a lot, but isn't necessarily. Do you have any final things to say generally on the topic of plastic?
Plastic is an incredible material when used responsibly. It's naturally sterile, it's so versatile, but we as a society have ended up in a case where we use it in everything. You go back 70 years, Nothing. No plastic. No plastic in sight. And, like, look at how we've screwed up the planet since then. We need to learn from what we did before. From making the most of everything that we have. That's the most important thing. If you're making the most of every material that you have, every resource that's at your disposal, then that's going to be how you're able to make those big changes.
Yeah, I mean, I just think even like being on a committee, on the ESJ committee, I'm around people that live their life almost waste-free, almost plastic-free, and that is like incredible and amazing. But it can seem like almost so overwhelming that you don't do anything, and I think it's kind of important to realise that even if you are using plastic in certain places, you can also cut it out in easier ways. So it's not about like completely cutting plastic out of your life straight away. It's about cutting it out where you can and then kind of gradually building towards that, rather than waking up one day and being waste free because realistically I think that's what stops people. What makes people care less about what they're using?
We're now going to have our final song, which is one of my favourite environmental songs. We've had it before by Joni Mitchell, but this week we are going to have Big Yellow Taxi by Counting Crows featuring Vanessa Carlton.
They paved paradise and put up a parking lot with a pink hotel, a boutique, and a swinging hot spot. Don't it always seem to go that you don't know what you got till it's gone? It'd be a paradise and put up a parking lot. They took all the trees and put them in a tree museum, and they charged the people a dollar and a half to see them. No, 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 don't it always seem to go that you don't know what you got till it's gone? You'd be a paradise and put up a fucking lie. Taxi took my girl away. Now don't it always seem to go that you don't know what you got till it's gone? To be a paradise, put up a parking lot. Hey, nah, nah. Don't it always seem to go that you don't know what you got till it's gone? To be a paradise, put up a parking lot. Why not? They pay paradise to put up a parking lot. Hey, 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 pay paradise and put up a parking lot. Ooh, ba, ba, ba. Ooh, ba, ba, ba. I wanna give it, why you wanna give it, why you wanna give it all away? Hey, 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 now you wanna give it, oh, she wanna give it.
Why you wanna
Thank you so much for listening. Listen in next week, where we're going to be taking a slightly different approach and discussing the topic of insects and animals and how important they are to our ecosystem. Thank you so much for listening. I'll be back next week, and you can catch this online on Monday.